From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Pablo.
Yeah, San Pablo.
I live in Novato.
Emeryville.
Rockridge.
I live in Berkeley.
Coming up, we hear how older immigrants aren't getting the health care they deserve and what one city is doing to fill the gap.
There's the formal system of medical care, the hospitals, but it's really that informal system, the neighbors, who you connect with, who you go to.
Then we'll hear how friendship has helped an HIV-positive senior thrive.
I myself am grateful that I have what I have.
And we hop in the car with a community ride service getting drag queens from point A to point B.
At nighttime when I go out and this is how I look, you know, fabulous and avant-garde, not a cab will take me.
Don't worry, we've got your ride covered today on Cross Currents. California's senior population is growing. The state's elders make up about 12% of the population, roughly 4 million people now, and their numbers will double by the year 2030. While social service programs support many, studies show that a lot of immigrant seniors don't get the care they need and qualify for. There are language barriers, cultural barriers, and one of the Bay Area's most ethnically diverse cities is doing something about it. Fremont has pioneered a program that directs help to seniors from inside their own communities. In part two of our series on aging and social connections, KALW's Jen Chien reports.
The main prayer hall at Gurdwara Sahib Fremont, or the Fremont Sikh Temple, is a cavernous room. A beautiful marble center aisle leads to an altar which contains the holy book, or Guru Granth Sahib. This is one of the biggest gurdwaras in the Bay Area. Every Sunday, around 3,000 people come to worship, eat, and find fellowship. Outside the hall, it's bustling. Kids laugh and play, friends and family chat as they stand in line for free vegetarian food, cars stream through the parking lot. And right in front of the main building, at a folding table covered with flyers, Jagmeet Kaur and Davinder Kaur are fielding some questions in Punjabi.
So now he's working, so he can go through covered California or keep the health care?
So you can go through cover California depending on what his income is. So
the gentleman they're speaking with is a recent immigrant from India and doesn't know what government benefits he and his wife are eligible for.
We can help them with food stamps. Depends on his immigration status.
Asylum?
Approved asylum? Approved? Okay, so they can't yet.
Jagmeet and Davinder are volunteers with Community Ambassadors for Seniors, or CAPS, a city initiative to get seniors more access to services like healthcare and food assistance. The idea is to serve as a bridge between formal social services and faith-based and cultural communities. This is a big deal in Fremont, where 40 years of major demographic shifts have forced the city to reevaluate how it does things. In 1970, the city was nearly all white. But these days, there's no ethnic majority. Almost half of the population is foreign-born, and nearly 60% of households speak a language other than English.
So that's where the Gurdwara plays a great role.
Kashmir Singh is also a CAPS ambassador at the Fremont Gurdwara.
The seniors who cannot actually go at certain places to get help because of ride or language, they can come here. And comfortably, you know, they can talk to people with their own language and they feel confident to talking to their own community member.
The city developed CAPS from the bottom up with cultural and religious organizations as partners. CAPS ambassadors, regular people, not social workers, go through a 40-hour training that covers a broad range of services and resources, both government and non. But having the right information is only the first step. The critical second step is getting that information to the people who need it, which means enlisting their neighbors.
喝点水。
哎呦，阿姨，
说了半天话很渴的。
CAPS ambassador Cordelia Shea and her client, Mrs. Jin, aren't literally neighbors, but they do cross paths. Shea's church is just down the street from Jin's subsidized senior apartment complex in Fremont.
My church is considering English classes.
Oh, yeah, if your church is going to do that, I would definitely do that. It's so close.
The two are meeting in a common room at the apartment complex to discuss getting Jin, who's 64, enrolled in healthcare through the Affordable Care Act. Jin moved to the U.S. from Shanghai in 2008, but never got health insurance. She says she's relieved to know she's eligible now, since for years she's been living with constant anxiety about her health.
Frankly, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm always worried, always being careful, because I can't afford to get sick. I say to myself, I'm going to try my best not to be sick. And that's all I can do.
CAPS Ambassador Shea is also trying to get Mrs. Jin enrolled in CalFresh, or the food stamp program, through a phone interview. Jin has taken English classes before. She's already passed her citizenship test. But she still doesn't feel fully confident, especially about making phone calls. So Shea pulls out her cell and puts it on speakerphone.
Thank you for calling the Alameda County Community Food Bank. If you know your party's extension, you may enter it at any time.
Hi, my name is Cordelia. I am a community ambassador associate with the city of Fremont.
Shea has been working with Mrs. Jin for about a year now, helping to explain senior housing applications and arranging health insurance for her husband, who has complications following a stroke. But the advice and help flow both ways, as Jin presses Shea to drink the bottle of water she's brought for her.
Hush, Shea. Drink more water. It's good for you. Good for your skin. I drink a lot of water at home.
I think what's really gotten me very excited is how the community can be the solution and how we often don't phrase social services in that way.
Karen Grimsich is administrator for Aging and Family Services for the city of Fremont, which oversees CAPS.
There's the formal system of medical care, the hospitals, but it's really that informal system, the neighbors, the who you connect with, who you go to.
Grimsich says CAPS is purposely non-bureaucratic. The point is to take it down to a person-to-person level, building on relationships or connections that already exist.
Just being there. It's like creating communities like they used to be 200 years ago. You know, you didn't get on your phone, you didn't get in, you know, on your, you would just talk to your neighbors.
The CAPS program now has over 60 active ambassadors, with more joining every year. After the initial training, ambassadors continue to meet periodically. They learn about new resources, share problems and support, and also get to know each other better. And in connecting the ambassadors on a personal level, CAPS has created bridges across ethnic communities as well.
Doing things. So they do health fairs, and sometimes they'd have the Filipino community would invite the Chinese community to help with their health fair. And there'd be this honoring of different ways of supporting their elders. And I mean, isn't that the wish we have in our world, is that there's respect and understanding and room for all different people and cultures?
By creating and nurturing these personal care relationships, the CAPS program is making that wish a reality. In Fremont, I'm Jin Chien for Cross Currents.
That story was produced through a fellowship from New America Media and the Gerontological Society of America, supported by AARP.
मेरी हरो विपत जन करो सुभाई चरण न छाटो शरीर काल जाई राम गुसैया जी के दीवना.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Now to another area of healthcare, dealing with HIV and AIDS. Prevention and treatment advances mean the majority of people living with the virus are now aged 50 or older. But with age come other concerns, like access to affordable housing and health care, mental health issues, and isolation. Reporter Jasmine Lopez introduces us to one HIV-positive senior who considers himself one of the lucky ones.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Jasmine.
Yes, I'm here.
Let me see if I can press this.
Joe Childress lives in a new brick building in the South Park neighborhood of San Francisco. If there are three things Childress loves in this world, it's art, silent film, and his dog, Rupert.
This is the apartment I live in. Look, this is Rupert. I hope you're not afraid of dogs. He's very, very friendly.
Hi.
Childress was diagnosed with HIV in 1987. He didn't expect to survive, but he did. So that means managing his illness and everything that goes along with it. Take his living situation, for example. After years of struggling to find a safe and affordable place to live, he heard about the AIDS Housing Alliance, a nonprofit that offers housing services to people living with HIV. They helped him enroll in a housing lottery out of the mayor's office, and he won. Monthly rent in this building is usually in the $3,000 to $4,000 range, but because he qualified for Section 8, Childress pays just $125 a month for his apartment. But Childress was one of the lucky ones. Usually, low-income HIV-positive seniors struggle to find affordable housing. They often have a fixed income, and some fear that their landlords would discriminate against them for having a chronic illness.
If you lose your housing, you know, first of all, you lose your home where you might have been for 30 years.
Dr. Patrick Arbour works with the Institute on Aging.
And then to try to figure out how do you find a new place that is affordable is really hard. And so you have to look at the East Bay or, you know, Vallejo. But then you lose your network of support.
Arbour says life as a low-income senior with HIV can feel like a series of trade-offs. Do I stay near my friends or move to find more affordable housing? This struggle is most obvious when it comes to expensive medications.
Okay, I usually take my medications with milk.
Like most people with HIV, Joe Childress has dozens of pills to take every morning and every night.
I take, I can't pronounce it, but it's for my allergies. One pill a day, $49, I think, a month. Effexor XR, two capsules a day, probably $190 maybe a month, dollars. And
the average number of medications that an older person takes ranges from 8 to 12 prescriptions per year. And when you think that one of those prescriptions might cost $450 a month, and you're taking six or seven, you can see how quickly that adds up.
There is another psychotropic medication, Lamotrigine, 200 milligrams, that I take two of once a day. $90 maybe a month, dollars. See, I'll take the Isentris, which is part of my HIV medication, twice a day, 60 tablets, $1,800 or $1,900 a month.
And so when we are making people choose between kind of quality of life and their medications, we're asking them to make a really difficult decision.
Raitaz, Norvir, Epsicon, Phenofibrate.
Childress estimates that his medications cost at least $4,000 a month. But again, he's fortunate. Most of them are covered under Medi-Cal. Dr. Patrick Arbour says many seniors end up paying for their meds out of pocket because they have trouble navigating the system.
Rupert, you're going to sing a song? You say the song I made up for you, The Three Little Poodles?
For all the luck Childress has had in getting housing and financial help, he's still struggling with feeling alone. He's lost many friends to AIDS over the years.
This was like in 1982 or so, and a friend would say, well, you know, I don't feel well. I don't have a doctor. And we'll go here, go to mine. And then 3 weeks later, he died. I have, for some reason, not been able to forget them. I'm that type of person.
And this is a common topic at Joe's weekly support group.
So it's really good to see everybody.
Oh, welcome.
That's Scott Heitzuka. He's a program coordinator at Open House SF, a nonprofit that helps LGBT seniors in San Francisco with their housing and mental health. There, Heitzuka facilitates a meetup for HIV-positive men over the age of 50.
Where do we want to start? Anybody want to start?
I'm going to run down.
The room feels safe, intimate. Most of these men have known each other for years. I joined them for a session right before the holidays, and it was an especially tough time for some of them. Richard is one of the first to speak up.
probably about 15 or 20 years ago when my partner died, and then my best friend died, and 100 other friends died in of varying degrees. I got rid of every Christmas ornament. I used to have a huge collection and a huge gatherings of friends, and I stopped doing that.
Heitsuka's a facilitator, but he's lived through similar challenges. He lost his partner of 17 years to AIDS in 2006.
All of these group members have experienced a tremendous amount of loss. They have lived in San Francisco, some of them since the late 60s, early 70s. When the HIV epidemic hit and started here in San Francisco, it wiped out a whole community, if not a generation, of men.
And now, due to aging, they continue to lose friends and members of their chosen family. So Heitsuka says groups like these help HIV-positive seniors stay connected to a community. It's one of the many things Joe Childress says he's lucky to have.
I myself am grateful that I have what I have to help me survive. I am heartbroken that people that need the same or similar conditions do not have it.
He says his hope is that more people will be able to count on the services that have helped him, and that one day, his story will be commonplace. For Cross Currents, I'm Jasmine Lopez.
That story originally aired last February. To learn more about Open House SF or any of the other resources you heard in the story, go to kalw.org and click on Cross Currents. Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Now on to a story about a small business that helps San Francisco's LGBT community and its friends get around the city in style. It's called Homobiles, and it's a non-commercial, volunteer, 24/7 car service. Linnie Breedlove created Homobiles in 2010 when she noticed that her friends, especially in the drag community, were in desperate need of safe, dependable rides. The service relies on donations and a network of independent drivers who don't mind if there's a little or a lot of glitter left behind. In this story from the Bay Area production team, The Kitchen Sisters, Linnie takes us on a night drive with a ride service that's mission is more social than financial.
Who took the bomb? Hey, Homobiles, this is Lenny. 859 Union. Yeah, hey, could you text me that?
One babe, one bag. Going to ask Bo.
I will give it to the driver, and they'll be there in about 10 minutes.
I was having a hair appointment. I was getting my hair blown out at Dina's Glamorama. My friend said, Lenny Breedlove has started Homobile. Call if you need a ride. And so I told them where I was and I needed a car. They sent, I think it was Musty Chiffon. Yes, it was Musty Chiffon. She showed up and was my driver. So all of a sudden, this person who I'd known in clubs, we were driving in a car and talking with each other. They asked for a suggested donation. And of course, you just want to give them the entire contents of your pocketbook because they're so lovely.
See what I tell you?
Traffic.
My name is Lenny Breedlove. I run Homobiles, a community ride service for the LGBTIQQLNOPQRST community and its allies in San Francisco. You do not have to be a big fat queer to get a ride from Homobiles, but it does help. No, just kidding. But you need to understand that the real reason that we are here is for people that don't get rides normally from anyone else. And so you're putting on all this padding, high heels, a wig, and 3 sets of false eyelashes, and a bunch of glitter. You are high priority at Homobiles.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights...
My name is Godiva Chocolatier.
We're at the Stud in San Francisco, and right now you're seeing me in my night drag. I'm wearing gold lamé pants and a platinum wig and lots of fabulous makeup. At nighttime when I go out, and this is how I look, you know, fabulous and avant-garde, not a cab will take me.
Are you Grant?
Michelle.
How are you? Where are you headed to?
Wisconsin, 25th.
My name is Becca Scherzer. We're driving in my Toyota Tacoma truck, which also doubles as a homobile because of drag queens, sex workers, trans folks, queers not being picked up, given a hard time, harassed. It was really important for us to get our folks around safely.
I had a band called Tribe 8, and I had a bike messenger company called Lickety Split, all-girl courier in the 90s. And then I had a dog walking company, Uncle Lenny's School for Dogs. I drove all over town picking up dogs. And then it was a moving band called Van Dyke Hauling. And one day I was driving a friend of mine around who's a lady of the night and a trans person. I was dropping her off at some hotel and I was like, don't you want me to wait? Don't you want to text me in case something weird happens? Don't you want me to be the tough guy? So then me and a friend of mine were brainstorming about what I could do. And he's like, well, you got your car, right? Why don't you be that tough guy for the exotic dancers and the what have yous? And then you could call it Ho-mobiles. Get it? Then one day, I was invited to the Femme Conference in Oakland. And I showed up, and they were like, oh, a butch with a car. And so I was like, oh, I'll be right back. So I ran down to the nearest do-it-yourself car wash and came back, and I was blasting La Tigra. I was like,
I'm so
so excited, it was blasting out of the car. Babes were standing on the corner and they all piled in. There were about six hotties were squeezed into the tiny Mitsubishi. And then I went back and got more and brought them back. And I was like, hey babes, free rides. By then, drag queens were like, hey, we're femmes, we have high heels, we have big hair, we need rides. And then all the fags were like, ah, yeah. And so do we. And so did everybody suddenly was a homobiler. And that's how it happened.
We have over 20 people that drive their cars. It's all by donation. All the drivers are volunteers.
I want to drive. I have a car. I have four doors.
Because I have a truck, I get a lot of performers carrying equipment, drag queens and all their bags and their boys. And a lot of cabs and stuff won't take people with, you know, they don't like glitter in their cabs. They don't like all kinds of bicycles and whatever.
Now, I'm not a big glitter person, but, you know, I wear sequins, so I'm sure I leave sequins in many places. My name's Justin Vivian Bond. I'm a transgenre artist. People get freaked out by glitter, and I don't blame the drivers, because if you get a lot of glitter or makeup or body paint in your car, it's hard to get out. I guess that's one of the drawbacks of the carriage trade.
Women who are, like, exotic dancers and stuff use this a lot because they don't like cab drivers knowing where they live. They've been propositioned all night for their job. Now they're getting propositioned all the way home. They want silence or at least sweetness, not skeeviness.
I think it is a safety issue, but it's also kind of a civil rights issue, because when someone perceives you as presenting a gender that they don't want to accept, then they feel like they have the right to ask you any inappropriate question, and you always have to be on high alert.
It's 1:57, which is the magic hour. And right now, the dispatcher is pulling his hair out because he's trying to get 500 queers home with 7 homobiles. That means there's lots of homo shuttling going on right now.
My mom is about to get a ride from homobiles to the airport tomorrow, because you can trust homobiles.
With your mom.
With my mom.
Bye, Mom.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Love you.
Homobiles International. Homobiles Bombay, Homobiles Bloomington, Homobiles Berlin. Wait a sec. Moe's getting hoes where they needs to go. Balin, what's up, dude? Dude, I got the best tag for you. I told you could be there in 10 minutes. Did I lie?
I'm so excited.
That story was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, as part of their Making Of series.
You've taken a ride with us, and now we want to hear your review. Email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. You can also call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Jack Detch, Audrey Dilling, Samia Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Marcy Fraser, Nina Genslow-Debs, Chris Hoff, Alexis Luna-Torres, Ted Muldoon, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Ashley Ann Craigbaum. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And this music is by the Bay Area Composers Big Band. You can hear them this Sunday at Doc's Lab in North Beach in San Francisco. Music starts at 6:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.